our topic is the servant leader. I got the definition of servant leader directly from the Lord. Nobody taught me this. I was minding my business, and he told me, he said, do you know the meaning of servant leader? I said, somebody who washes the feet of people. He said, no, it's somebody who leads by example. Somebody who leads by what? Example. He said, that's a servant leader. Somebody who leads by example. In Mark chapter 10, verse 43, Mark 10:43, but among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Must be your what? The word must is something that is, that's the only condition God approves of your leadership. Must be. This is the Holy, this is our Lord Jesus Christ talking to us. Must be. It's not that you have a title or you have a position. If you are talking, if I'm talking, you don't talk. If you behind it. It's not that you have a title or you have a position. It says you must be the servant of the people. And so that's the only leadership that our Lord recommended to us. The leadership by example. Everybody say leadership by example. And he too led the same way. In John chapter 13, verse 15. John 13, 15, he said, for I have given you an example. I have given you what? An example that you should do as I have done to you. So he first did, and I said, look at the way I did it. And he said, that's the way to lead in my kingdom, in my church, in any family that is my family. That's the way everybody leads, whether you're a man, you are a woman, you are a youth, but you are leading. Actually, that's the way Christians live their lives. The Bible told us to be that example, what? In all things to everybody. And so doing is God's method of leading. Doing is God's method of what? Leading. Instruction is important, but he didn't say the person that leads must be the one instructing. He said he has to be the one that serves others. And actually they say if you want people to change, then you start what? Changing. You know, we like to point fingers at people and we talk about our youth and everything. I've said it here and I'm telling you. Youths need examples. Some of the things we say our youths are doing is just what the parents are doing. They look at us. We don't have passion for Jesus. We don't have passion for serving him. We don't have passion for prayer. We don't have passion for Bible. We don't have passion for nothing. We have so much passion for the world. As I was stepping out and driving here, the Lord spoke to me in my car. He said, anybody that loves the world is not serving me. Doesn't love me. He said, if you have passion for the world, if you have love for the world, he said, forget it. The love of the Father is not in you. So, but if you have, look, action speaks, and action speaks what? Louder than words. So he recommended that believable leadership. The only leadership that is believable is the leadership that you demonstrate by example. Now, but the Pharisees didn't like that. So they had their own way of leadership, which is what a lot of people want. Leadership by instruction. Leadership by imposition. Leadership that demands that, you know, you need to stand up for me. You know, you need to honor me. You know, if I go, four cars must follow me. All that kind of junk. Title mentality. I heard of a pastor who would not preach because they didn't address him properly with his titles. So he sat there and they were calling his name. He refused to come and preach the word of God. And when you have people who have this kind of mentality, they are always fault finders. They'll find fault in everything because they are looking for fault in everybody. And so the Pharisees were that. Look at what the Bible says about them. Matthew 20:25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, I'm reading Matthew 20, 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princesses of the Gentiles do what? Come on, church, do what? Exercise dominion over them. Anybody that is exercising dominion over another human being is not walking by the Holy Spirit. Whether it's your wife or your husband. The word submit does not give you license to exercise dominion over anybody. Doesn't. And so he says, you know that that's what the princesses of the Gentiles do. They exercise dominion over them. And they, I'm not done. And they that are great exercise what? Come on, church. Exercise what? Authority upon them. Exercise authority. My way is the highway. A good leader doesn't do that. A good leader, first of all, recognizes that he can be wrong. A very good leader recognizes first that he can be what? Wrong. So he seeks a way of checking himself. Somebody has to judge what he's doing. He knows I can be wrong. So he submits himself to scrutiny. Open scrutiny. Submits himself to be checked. Somebody speaks into what he's doing. Because two are better than one. So that when you are wrong, somebody points it out to you. You cannot see your blind spot. Accidents happen when you don't see it. But when people are incorrigible, you know there are people, once you correct them, if you correct them, they'll scatter the church. But Jesus is saying that's not the spirit of Christ. It's not the spirit that exercises dominion. It's not the spirit that exercises authority over people. Verse 26, Matthew 20, 26. But it shall not be so, what? Among you. Can we say amen? Come, I want a big amen. Amen. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your what? The word minister means your servant. That's why in this church, we have ministries. That's what the Bible says. Be a minister to people. So we have ministries that remind us that we are servants of the people. Men's ministry, women's ministry, children's ministry. You remind yourself with that word all the time that this is what the Lord says, that you are there to minister to the people. A head of ministry is a head of people who serve. So he serves the most. But the Pharisees are not like that. Matthew 23, verse 4. He's talking about the Pharisees now. Matthew 23, verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's what? Shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad, enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at what? Feasts. And best seats where? In the synagogues. Greetings where? In the marketplace. And to be called by men, they like titles. I mean, this is Jesus talking. I mean, even who listen to anybody, who to listen to the Lord? They like to be called titles. If you don't give them titles, trouble. That's why in this church, I'm not giving you. I'm not what? Giving. The Bible says you are all brethren. When I write most of you, I write Brother Emmanuel. I don't know if you have received from me. That title is what I love most. Because that's what the Bible says we're all brothers. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear you, hallelujah. I said, praise the Lord. I'm still not giving you a title. Because I want you to make heaven. Stay in the race. The man that mentored me, one of the, I mean, God used this man, it's incredible. He answered brother till he died. He answered brother, he had PhD, he had all those. He answered brother till he went into the grave. And the day they were burying him, they were still calling him brother. So. Titles don't matter. They don't matter. If you read the Bible, it'll tell you the things that matter. They love to be called rabbi, senior pastor. If they don't call him senior pastor, trouble. His name is Chinedu. That's what the father gave him. Let's do away with these things. Jesus said, this is not what you did in my kingdom. And so we lead by example. Paul led by example. Paul led the church by example. That's what is important. Your credential for leadership is what you do. That's your credential for leadership. It's what you do. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 7. For you yourself know how you ought to follow us. Listen to what he said. You yourself know how you ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves, how? Disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might be chargeable to, might not be chargeable to any of you. Verse 9. Not because we have power, we have not power, but to make ourselves an example. To make ourselves what? An example unto you to follow. Follow. To create an example that you can follow. A good leader. Whether you are a husband, you're a wife, you're in the church, your aim is to create an example that people can follow. That's what Paul said. Can you give me a New Living Translation in that verse 9? New Living Translation, that verse 9. Okay, if you can't get it, we'll move on. It's taking a lot of time. Okay. For you know that you ought to, oh my God. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to what? To follow. Want to give you an example to follow. If you're in the home, you want to give an example for your children to follow. An example for your wives to follow, and not to instruct them and just no example. It says the way to live is to give an example to follow. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, New King James Version. For our gospel did not come to you in words, what? But also in what? Power. And what again? In the Holy Spirit. And what again? A much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were, what? Among you for your sake. Showing you example to follow. We painstakingly made sure that our life gave you a good example to follow. It was what we did on purpose. So we give you leadership according to the instruction that our Lord Jesus Christ left us and the example he too left us. Verse 6. And you became followers of what? And what again? And of the Lord. You became followers of what? Us. And who again? Come on, let's say it again. You became followers of us and what? Come on, let's say it one more time. You became followers of us and who? Say it one more time. You became followers of us and who? He said, the automatic thing by following us, you're following the Lord. We left you example so that our life will lead you to follow the Lord. Lead you to follow the Lord.
And verse 6, and you became full, and receiving the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, affliction couldn't stop you. You knew what you got, so that you became examples too. So you became what? Examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. From you the word of the Lord have sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything anymore. But how did this start? We showed you example, and you followed that example to the Lord, and your own life became example to others. Praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. So when the children watch you go to church, what do they see? What do they see? Did they see somebody who is passionate about it? Did they see somebody who knows that this is an important appointment to her? Do they see it in you? Do they see you run around for Bible studies, doing those things? Do they see you pray? Do they see you pray? Do they see you study? When there's conflict in the home, what do they see? Do they see the fruits of the Spirit? Or do they see the flesh? Fighting, quarreling, your voice is all over the place. What do they see? When you talk to them, do they see somebody who knows to respect people? Have you ever apologized to them to teach them you can apologize? Have you ever said, I'm sorry, I got this thing wrong? What examples are we laying so that they too can also follow the Lord? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. It says, be fullers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Can you put it in New Living Translations? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Sorry? What's that? First Corinthians 1, verse 11. No, I said 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. What did I say? 1 Corinthians 11, 1. You see how example matters? 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. And you should imitate me just as I do what? You see why his life led them to Christ? He was following Jesus. He was following Jesus. He said, imitate me because I'm imitating Christ. So the thing started. They began to imitate him. And they led them to Christ. And their life became an example to people. And Paul said, we don't need to preach anything again. Can you imagine your family where your life has lit up the whole family? People come into their home, they say, wow. I won't tell you anything. People come into their family, they say, wow. Everybody here is following the Lord. And it's easy to know. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Are you going to remember everything he did? Some people say, what will Christ do? You can't remember everything. In the heat of life, you may not remember much. So what does it mean to follow Christ? How does a man follow Jesus Christ? Let's see, because God told us. God told us how to follow him. Now, to follow Christ means to walk by faith. To walk by faith. To walk by his word. To follow his word. In the beginning was the word. The word was what? And the word became flesh. So when you follow the word, you follow Christ. To walk by faith and not by sight. To follow Christ is to walk by faith and not by sight. Let's say it like that. Say it louder. Say it louder. Can I hear it from you here? Come on, let's say it. To follow Christ. Let me hear this side. Come on, let's say it. To follow Christ. Everybody, let's say it louder. Come on now. To follow Christ, to follow God, is to walk by faith, not by sight. And you see how God defined what following him means. God himself defined it. So we understand what it means to follow. So now in Numbers chapter 12, chapter 13, verse 27, something happened here. God told the children of Israel, he said, listen, you've come to this land that I'm going to give you. I want you to go in and check it out. And they went in and checked it out. And remember, these are the people who saw all the miracles of God. Incredible miracles of God. I keep telling people that miracles, faith doesn't come from miracles. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing the word. There's something about the word of God. There's something about that word. This, do you know that Moses, you may not have known this, Moses, of all the miracles that Moses saw, the pillar of fire and the pillar, do you know that Moses called the brother-in-law and said to him, you know this desert too well. You live here. Can you come and lead us to the promised land? And promised him blessings. It's in your Bible. He called his brother-in-law. He said, come and be our leader. He said, because you know this place too well. He said, remember God said we bless you. When we read there, we'll give you share of the blessing. It happened. And the man said, I'm not following you. I'm going back to my... How could Moses ever think of replacing the guidance they saw with all these things with the hidden? That's human being for you. So God told them, go see this land. And they went there and said, oh, this land is flowing with milk and honey. But we saw some giants there. And they came back and told Israel, they said, whoa, that land eats up the people. He said, we can't do it. We can't go there. But Joshua and Caleb said to the people, no, God is with us. And we can take the land. So let's read it. Numbers 13, 27. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and what? Honey. Are you here? If you are here, say amen. It flowed with what? Milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, look at people who are not following God. The nevertheless people. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are also what? Walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, 29. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and all the Hites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 30, and Caleb stirred the people before Moses and said, let us go up, what? At once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are what? Stronger than we. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. If it's eating up the inhabitants, how did they see somebody? And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as what? Grasshopper. And so we were in their own. How did they know that those people saw them as grasshopper? Now, I want to show you what God defines as following him. Please be serious. You miss this. You miss this. You miss this. You will lead people to the Lord. Numbers 14. From verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. See how they led them away from the Lord by their life of doubt and unbelief. They showed doubt in their lives. They showed doubt in their lives. And said, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept there that night. And all the children of Israel murmured. You see where that leading brought them? You see where it led them? All the congregation, you see where it led them? You can lead your family like that. You can. From what you say, all the unbelief you talk in your home, all the unbelief you talk in your home, you can discourage people. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against what? They murmured against their pastors because somebody was sowing this thing in their lives. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died where? Land of Egypt. Or would God that we had died in this, you know they died there? They died there. Now the next one, the verse 3. And wherefore had the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return where? To Egypt. And they said one to another, let us make a captain. They rejected Moses. Let's make a new pastor here. But somebody was leading them. Somebody was leading them. You can lead your family to this point. Discourage your children from going to church. You can. I'm telling the truth. This boy told us. He said, they wanted to make me a Muslim, but I saw my mother's feet and I knew that Jesus was real. He said, that's what stopped it. I saw my mother stand on the scripture and get healed before my eyes. And I said, this Jesus must be real. That's what he told us. What verse did I read, lad? That's 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that sat the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through it to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Verse 9. Let's read verse 9 together. One, two, go. Only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land. For they are what? Bread for us. Their defense is what? Departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. This is how you lead your family. When the giants show up, you should stand up and declare before your children that the word of God is here and the Lord is with us. One of my children followed me outside one day. He said, Daddy, I've seen God bless you. He said, I've seen it with my eyes. I've seen God do things in your life. My wife will share to people her experiences, which some of you have heard from her. Verse 10. Verse what? But all the congregation, what did they do? Stoned them with what? Stones. And what happened? The glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? They're walking in doubt. They don't trust me. How long will I be teaching them Bible study until they start to believe that my word is yea? And he said, how long will I do this? How long will they be Christians? Until they start believing my word and fully persuaded my word is true. How long? So I say, and how long will I be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have what? Shown among them. Then verse 22. They see what God says about following him. Verse 22. Verse 22. Because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now how many times? And have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their father. Neither shall any of them that what? Provoke me see it. Verse. But my servant. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. But my servant Caleb, because, church, because he had another spirit with him, called the spirit of faith. And had what? That's how to follow him. That's how to follow him. He has followed me how? Fully. He never wavered. He never shook. He stood his ground. He declared before the people that I am God. Say he followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went. And he seized. Shall what? Are you getting what I'm saying? If you are getting a shout, hallelujah. Then here comes David. Let me show you David. 1 Kings 14, verse 7. 1 Kings 14, verse 7. Go tell Jeroboam, thus said the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people, and rent the kingdom away from the house of what? David, and gave it to thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant. See, all these people that follow him in faith, he calls them my what? Servant. He said, I have not been as my servant David, who kept, and who, with what? To do that only which was right, what? But did David keep all his commandments? You know David now. You know what he did. So how can God say this man kept all my commandments? How can God say he followed me fully? How can it be? After Uriah, you know David had a fault. He was so handsome, but he couldn't keep his hand off women. But God said he followed me. How can it be? How can? God said, he kept all my commandments. He said the same thing of Abraham. He said to the children of Israel, he said, you know how your father kept all my commandments. But you know Abraham told lies. How can it be? How? But God is amazing. I want you to hear me. Open your ears and what? Yeah. Even when you fail, you can still follow him. Because David will fall, but his faith in God will never shift. He believed in the mercy of God to restore him. He believed in the mercy of God to forgive him. He believed in the mercy of God to take him where he was taking him. He believed in it with all his heart. So when he falls, he will say, Lord, I'm sorry it's me, but I trust in your mercy. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. You can still follow him. To follow him doesn't mean you are perfect. No, it means your faith is still in the Lord, whether you're on the mountain or in the valley. Is anybody following me? So you see, when you fall, when you make errors and apologize to your children, it doesn't mean you're not following the Lord. It means that you are teaching your children that the Lord can restore all things. If you get me, shout hallelujah. See what David said. See what David said. See what David said. Psalm 59 verse 16. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy what? mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense, and what again? Refuge in the day of my trouble. 17. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my what? Defense, and the God of my mercy. So when he falls, he trusted in the mercy of God. His faith was still in God, unshakable, totally unshakable. And God counted it for him for righteousness. So when God said he followed me fully, what God is saying is his faith in me was consistent. But some people, when they fall, they think that's the end of the world. No, you should trust in the mercy of God 24/7. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Now, Abraham, I'll show you examples. Romans 4:17. About Abraham. That is what the scripture means when God told him, I've made you the father of many nations. Now let me ask you a question. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? I didn't hear you. What does it mean to follow Jesus? 24. In any situation of life, you can still walk by faith. When you fall, you trust in his mercy. When the challenges come, you trust in his strength. When you have no wisdom, you trust in his wisdom. But as far as you are walking by faith in God, you are following him. So look at Abraham now. Romans 4:17. That is what the scripture means when God told him, I've made you the father of what? Many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope. Even when there was no reason for hope. Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God has said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken. Abraham's faith what? Did not weaken. Even though at about 100 years age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Continue. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promises. That's how to follow him. Never wavered in believing God's promises. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. Verse 21. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And verse 22. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as what? So God accepted his faith as righteous. Now let's look at Paul again. The same Paul that said, they followed me to the Lord. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I myself dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. The faith he had was so solid that he said, none of these things, what? Move me. Neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy. You know, when you go home and the slightest thing, you complain and murmur and you are being moved. I told you a story of a brother who came to church. They were singing them. There is no mountain we cannot move. When I say we, I mean Jesus and I. Since I have Jesus right in my life, there's no mountain. So the ushers were coming him down. No, he said, there's no mountain we can move. So they got into the car to go home. And the wife told him that their boy needed a new shoe. He took off. He said, do you think I'm a bank? Why are you telling me? Immediately after service, you're telling me about money. Only shoe brought him down. Mountain hasn't come yet, though. Issue. Now, I want to ask you, if you were there as a child, watching your father talk like that, why is he leading you? Why is he leading you? Paul said, none of this is moving. You can't move me. No matter what you people say about me, it's not moving me. I'm serving Jesus. Can I hear amen? Let me hear a big amen. It doesn't matter what you say, I'm serving Jesus. And everybody around me, we know that that's my determined purpose. I'm here to serve Jesus. None of these things move me. Your children should see it in your life. That come what come may, your determined purpose is to serve who? You don't murmur, you don't complain, you don't come home, you talk evil about the body of Christ. The Bible says nobody speaking by the Holy Spirit speaks evil of Christ. Nobody. When you start speaking evil of the body of Christ called the church, it's the demons that are influencing you. It's demons. Slightest thing, we lose our temper. Lose our temper. Slightest thing. Slightest thing. We lose our temper. And our children are watching this. Somebody said something at the convention. He said that he went to preach somewhere and then he got to the airport. He went there and said, got to the airport and the person that came to pick him didn't know him. And the person will come and pass him looking for him. He was looking for the person he didn't know. So they were looking for, so they were passing. And so somehow with phone, they're now connected and the man said, ah, so this is you. He said, yes, I've been here. And I said, I waited for I don't know how long. Until the man, it was so much, so it was hours. But he made a statement. He said the church had become so unrecognizable that people passed the church by, not knowing that they belong to Jesus. See, Christians, you can't know them. See, people are looking for Christ. People are in trouble. People have issues. They are looking for Jesus. He said, but they passed the church by because they don't look like Jesus. Praise the Lord. Paul said, follow me because I follow Christ. I look like him. I walk by faith in him. None of these things move me. All these things don't move me. Don't bother me at all. Sometimes little challenges in our lives, we stop coming to church. Can't teach your children that. Can't teach your children that. That's not following God fully. When the challenges are tough, that's where you serve most. Sometimes you see me dance here, you think I'm have everything good. If I want to see me dance most, pray for me. I'm not joking. Pray for me. One time I was, somebody came to me in Lagos. He said, Pastor, do you need money? I said, why are you bothering me? Asking me whether I need money. He said, you don't look like you need money. You've been dancing all over the place. I said, so what's your business? He said, the Lord told me to give you 500 naira. Do you really need, you don't look like you need money now. He said, you are dancing all over. I said, leave me alone. So he went. Then he came back, he said, Pastor, tell me, do you really need money? I said, see trouble, oh. He said, you are so happy. You look so happy. He said, the Lord won't let me sleep. He was rest. He wants me to give you this 500 naira I have. He said, but you don't look like you need money. I said, leave me alone. Am I the Lord? Did I tell you? So he came back, the third one. He said, Pastor, tell me truly, truly, do you really need money? What he didn't know was that there was no breakfast in my house. There was no lunch waiting. There was nothing. But I was dancing. I was rejoicing. And I was in the church. I was serving. And God spoke to somebody, give him that money. Give it to him. He has followed me fully. He has what? Followed me fully. That thing did not stop him. Couldn't stop him. Couldn't take away his joy. He trusted me to the end. He said, him will I make to see the promise. But these ones, they won't see it. Him, Caleb, you will see this promise. And your children will see it. But see this bunch? See these ones? They're not seeing it. He said, I swear they will never see it. Out dancing, no breakfast, no lunch, nothing. But God made me see the promise. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I saw it. Man, I saw it. Brethren, I saw it. I saw it. You lead by following him fully. Am I communicating to you? None of these things move me. Come move me. Oh, man. Do you know how many times I come up here to preach to you? The previous night, I couldn't even sleep. My wife will tell you, last night she came to me and said, in fact, this way, said, honey, I'm just pitying you. I said, no, is it pity? He said that. He said, it touches me. I said, don't bother about me. I said, I'm good. The world is here. And I'm here. You will see the promise. If you follow him fully, your eyes will behold his glory. If only believe fully, not waver, fully to the end. That's how you lead your family. That's how you lead your ministries. You're not going to be talking negative things. We have a conference. You know, nobody comes to a conference. My friend, shut up. Get out. You're not a leader. You declare, bless the Lord, they will be there. The Lord is walking. He's adding to the church. Brethren, let's worship the Lord. They are coming. That's the leader I want to follow. I want to follow somebody who doesn't trust God, doesn't know what he's talking about. I want to follow somebody who challenges my faith, charges it up. Man, I want to follow you. I want to know how you got it done. The Bible says if we should follow those who, through faith and what? Patience, obtain the promise. I want to follow you. Man, be my dad. Man, I pay for you to be my father. Take away this father. I want this one. Because when you follow them, the thing rubs off on you. Paul said, they followed us and the Lord. It rubbed off on them. They started following the Lord. Everybody saw their faith everywhere. We didn't have to preach again. Somebody shout hallelujah. Galatians 2:19. For when I tried to keep the law, see how his life transformed. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. Thank you. I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. Verse 20. My old self has been crucified. I want you to hear this, the word of somebody who believed the gospel. Man, this man is not just a church goer. This man believes in Jesus and with all his heart that everything Jesus testified about himself is true. He was prepared to put his life down on this thing. The gospel wasn't a story to him. It was a reality. It was the truth. He lived by it. The Bible said the just shall live by his faith. He hung everything on the gospel. Everything on. He said, I do everything because of the gospel. Listen to his testimony, church. Listen to his testimony. Listen to Paul preach in Galatians 2:19. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to live by the law. Trying to do all these things by myself. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might not live for God. Look at his testimony here, brethren. My old self has been, I didn't hear you, come on. My old self has been crucified with who? It is no longer I who live, but Christ. Listen to me. How can Christ not demonstrate his power? This man trusts in Jesus from beginning to the end. He says, so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and what? He said, I'm done trying to live. He said, look, when I'm trying to follow the law, I was messing up. So I'm done. Now, I realize that I'm not who I used to be. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. He said, it is no longer I lives. The Christ is alive in me. He said, I just trust my life in this. You know, one time the Lord was teaching me about Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. What does Romans chapter 12 say from verse 1? I'm talking to Christians. What does it say? Romans chapter 12 from verse 1. Huh? Huh? Any verse? What does it say? Huh? Present? Present? As what? What did they call it? Your reasonable self. You know what that thing means? It's what Paul is saying here. It's to take your body to Christ and leave it in his heart as sacrifice to his son. Leave it with him there. He cannot take over. A dead sacrifice has stopped struggling. It is no longer I that live it. I am dead. Christ now is the one. This is the language of somebody who has faith in Christ, who believes the gospel. To him, the gospel is real. Christ is alive in me. Tell your neighbor, Christ is alive in you. Come on, say it one more time. Come on. And the Bible said, that's your hope of glory. That's the hope you can live this life we're talking about. Life of faith, life of love, life of faith, life of faith, life of love. For it is he who is at work in you to will and to do his what? His good pleasure. Let's see some other things he said before I close. Romans 7 verse 4. I'll close with this one. Did I communicate anything? Romans 7 verse 4. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died. What happened? I'm reading New Living Translation. Let's leave this King James people. There are few. Let's read New Living Translation. King James people, we love you, but your number is dwindling. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. What is the point? You died to the power of the Lord when you died with Christ. And now you are what? United with one who was raised from the dead. As a result of this, we can now produce a harvest of good deeds for God. What he's saying is you died to the power of the Lord, that you don't follow the law anymore. That when they gave the law, Christ hadn't come. What is available now was not available then. So you die to it. You don't respond to it. You don't respond to it. Don't live by it. That's not the way you live. He said you live by the one now. A new thing, that Christ is the one alive in you. You are joined to him. It is because of his presence in you that you can produce good fruits. He said it is not because of anything. He said because now you are joined to Christ. So you trust Christ to live this life. That's when you become a servant leader. That's why he reproduces what he was teaching the church. Follow my example. He reproduces it in you, not by effort. Not by effort. When people see Christ alive, as they follow you, they follow him. Oh, can I hear amen? You know, every day I thank God. I say, Lord, you gave me you made me a new creature. I say, the nature I have does not respond to the flesh and sin or everything. I bless him. I say, Lord, you know you are greater. You have overcome this world. So I don't have to struggle. I just step out here trusting you. You have overcome it for me. So I'm going to ride on your coattail. What is riding on the coattail? I came to this country later than you. You've been here so long. What is riding on somebody's coattail? To be carried by the person. And I repeat all these things that he did for me on the cross. I take my time one by one, one by one, one by one, one by one, one by one. I give him glory for that. I say, Lord, I live by faith in you. You are the foundation of my faith. You are the rock of my life. You are the only reason of the glory. You are all and all for me. By the time I go through these things, every day I do that. And the more I do that, the more the Spirit of God is opening my eyes. And the more I'm seeing it work. So that's how you become a servant leader. It's not by saying, oh, when you go home, you should be a servant leader. You can't do it. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do. Oh, you can't do it. You can't do it. We can do all things through Christ. That's what I'm pointing you to. That Paul was somebody who believed in Christ. His faith in Christ was solid to the end. He trusted him 24/7. He had his struggles of life, but in all those struggles, his faith in Christ was steady. My prayer for us is that all of us will discover the solid rock that does not move, the foundation of our faith, so that we can lay it on Christ alone. Can I hear amen? Let's bow our heads to prayer.